And I have another audio going. My brother's still there?
I'm here.
Yep. All right. Anybody want to talk about what I brought, what I offered? Examining, testing, proving. Any thoughts on that, brothers?
I'll just bring up a verse. I don't know if you brought it up or not.
That's
but
okay.
I'll bring it up again.
Good to repeat it.
Hebrews 4:12.
Yeah, I didn't use that.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. I like how it says two-edged sword. So the word of God can cut other people, but it also can cut us, which is why we should examine ourselves. Not only calling people out of their sin, helping other people with their walk, but the same word is used on our walk, is used in our sin. So,
amen, brother. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, it's like judge yourself the hardest. Like I did that teaching not long ago. Judge yourself the hardest, and you won't have to have people judge you. And that's why we can go in the streets and not be hypocrites, because we actually do what we tell people they should do. And if we don't, we're standing out there with a cigarette and a can of beer, and we're living worldly and carnal, telling people live holy. They're going to go, look at you. What are you talking about? So we want to make sure that that two-edged sword doesn't come and get us. And when it does cut us, when it does cut us, we should be thankful and repent of it, be humble, be meek, and put ourselves under it, get it correct, and keep going.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Purgos, any thoughts on that topic? It kind of was timely. I didn't plan that. It was kind of timely what we were talking about right before that, wasn't it?
Yes. Two verses came to mind. Philippians 3:13-15. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Basically, it's forgetting about the past and continually working towards sanctification, as I understand that verse.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So this, did you understand the difference between how the world and churchianity does it? Their examining is like always like looking at them, their heart, their desires, their wants, their past. Oh, deep inside, understand how I did this, why I did this, all this type of stuff. That's not really the kind of examining that Paul's talking about in 2 Corinthians 13:5, is it?
No.
It's an examining forward. How you living? How you walking? How you proclaiming? How are you holding to the doctrines? What does your faith life look like? Did you get that?
Yes.
You see the big difference between psychology, mind science, and the Word of God? The Word of God tells us to look today forward. Psychology is always telling you, look backwards. Oh, what did your dad do to you? Oh, why are you so bitter? And you see it in the streets. Ready? Brother Akul, have you heard this? When you preach, they go, have you been hurt by man-made religion? Did the pastor hurt you? Oh, you seem like you're hurt. They want me to sit on their couch and go, well, yeah, the pastor's hurt me. That's why I'm out here preaching. No, even though they were hypocrites and they did stumble me, that's not why I'm out here preaching. I'm warning because I love my neighbor and you're headed to destruction and wrath. What was your experience in college with that mindset? Talk about that, Brother Kuo.
Instead of
psychology,
like looking inward,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Selfism and self-improvement and image and...
Yeah, I think that was a lot of pride, and it really didn't get me anywhere because the problems always kept coming back up. It's almost like if you look inward, you may find like temporary solutions, almost like a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
But they always keep coming back up. You never have like the solution for it. It's just a loop. So,
yeah. Amen. How about you, Brother Purgos? What did you learn from that in your life before Christ?
Introspection, all you can basically do is just shift the problem from one area to another and become more socially acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Yeah, it aligns.
For example, to anger, you could go to pride, and, well, the world doesn't care about pride.
Yeah. Yeah, it aligns you with the culture, right? But does it align you with God's word and God's ways?
Not at all.
Brother Kuo, what were we just talking about today? Let's see how good your memory is. We talked about a bunch of stuff while we were sitting by the fire after we preached today. What were we talking about? You know where I'm going right on this? I'll give one word and you'll get it. Esteem.
Oh, whatever man esteems, God abhors. Yeah.
What is that, Luke? I think that's. Let me go look that verse up. I think that's Luke 16:15. I'm gonna go look it up.
Yeah, man always esteems looking inward, looking to self. How can I figure out my problems and whatnot when that's not the way the Lord does it at all?
Yeah, Luke 16:15, and he said unto them, ye are that which justify yourselves before men. There you go. What does mind science do? Psychology, self-improvement. It's always justifying you before men, and that men may be you. Maybe justifying yourself before you. But God knoweth your heart. Uh-oh. The gig's up, as they say. God knows your heart. You can't fool him. For that which is highly esteemed among men, it's not just sinful. It's not just approved. Is an abomination in the sight of God. What does that word abomination mean? It means it's a detestable thing. And it really has a lot to do with like idols in context in many places. And that fits, doesn't it? Idols. Ready? Proverbs 6:17, a proud look is an abomination to God. When you're proud, who's your idol? Me.
Yourself.
You're really something, aren't you? You're really something. So what is good examining, self-examination improving? What does it do? How does it help your faith life?
Give you assurance and confidence you're on the right path and you're not going to be turned away. If you're continually judging yourself, there'll be no surprises on judgment day.
Amen. Brother Kuo, what say you? How has it personally helped you? Give us some real world testimony.
How it's personally helped me is basically, faith without works is dead. So by walking your faith life, proving all things, examining yourself, saying, I should be doing this, I should be doing that, and then actually going to do it, and actually showing that you have faith in what the Word says and actually doing what the Word says, it proves you not only to yourself, but to other men, maybe to other brothers and sisters, to God as well.
Amen.
And the verse that came to mind for me, I don't know if you went through this one, I didn't hear it, but 2 Timothy 4:5.
I don't think I did. No.
But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry.
Examining so can help you do that, can it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would tell you the story, this quick story, your brothers have probably heard it, but I'll share it with people who might be listening. So I was a salesman when I became a Christian, if you can believe this. And I was working for this billion-dollar worldly company. And I was doing my best to not sin as best as I knew and still do my job. And that's hard when you're a salesman. But I was doing my best, and it kind of put me on the outside. Testing and examining myself really has helped me be to where I am today. In full-time ministry, a van dweller, and been doing it for years, out preaching the gospel all over the country. Why? I started examining myself, and as a full-time professional salesman, I realized I was not dressing biblical. I was not dressing according to God's word. I started changing my dress while I was a salesman. And I'll never forget, it was the beginning of the end of my sales career. My boss, when I decided to start wearing my untucked shirt long, come here. He called me in his office. What are you doing? I said, what do you mean? I said, John, you know I'm a Christian, born again. I had witnessed to him a lot. He was a Lutheran guy. He believed in Jesus, but that's as far as it went. He goes, what's that? And I said, oh, I said, I'm going to be wearing my shirt untucked and long and loose. I said, I want to cover my form. That's biblical. And he goes, what? And I said, you want me to show you in the Bible, John? He's like, no, I don't want to see it. And I said, well, that's what I'm going to be doing. And he told me, he said, you look sloppy because my shirt was untucked. I mean, this is a guy that controls my future, my boss, right? I said, well, I'm doing it, John. He goes, you sure about this? And I said, yep, not changing my mind, John. He said, man, you look sloppy. And I did say to him, I said, would you tell Jesus or Paul they look sloppy because they'd be wearing something like this, long, loose, untucked? He's like, okay, whatever. And that was the beginning of the end of my sales career. I think it was less than a year and a half after that they fired me. The only reason they waited a year and a half to fire me, the boss before that boss had gotten me in a room and screamed and yelled at me about a Bible in my car and just raked me over the coals about my faith. And I think they were afraid I was going to sue them. And so they let a lot of time go by before they never really fired me. They just dissolved my position. That's what happens when they fire you for no good reason. They just dissolve your position. But examining and testing myself actually helped me. If I would have compromised, I might still be a salesman today. I would not be in ministry, and I wouldn't know my brothers I'm talking to. So examining, testing, proving all things helped me and Sister Amin down the road on our faith life. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Amen.
Brother Zelos, any thoughts on proving, examining, testing yourself?
Very edifying study that you did there. It's good because I like Brother Akua did a short note once on all the different tests that metal has to go through to prove that it's strong. The reason you do it is to prove the strength of the metal so that it'll actually hold up when it needs to.
Amen.
You know, there was a stress test, a flexibility test. You had a whole list of them. And the same way, when we prove ourselves and God proves us, the point of it is to become a vessel purged unto honor.
Amen.
Fit for the master of use.
Amen. And by the way, Brother Zelos is coming to us live from his gospel van. On the road. he's in his gospel office.
Yeah.
So, Brother Zelos, how about some examples from you? I'm going to ask Brother Purgos this. I asked Brother Kuh already. Give us an example of proving, examining, testing yourself that has helped your faith life tremendously.
Stop compromising. To sum it up in a worldly sense, put your money where your mouth is. You say you believe something. Do you actually believe it? Or are you actually going to then go do it?
No matter who gets mad, no matter who doesn't like it.
Yeah, stop compromising and obey God's word. It gets down to, like, let's use trust for an example. Because that's one that's become really real to me in the last few days. So you say you trust God, right? How much? Do you just trust him when things are going really good? Or are you going to trust and kill your flesh when things probably don't go quite so good?
Yeah.
And remain joyous and steadfast and prove yourself that you're actually faithful through good and bad times unto the Lord. And you're not just basically one of, how's the saying go? One of those Sunday Christians that just walks on roses, and when things get tough, like whenever trials arise, they wither and fade away.
Yep, amen. Amen. Brother Purgos, how about you? Testing, examining, proving. How has that helped your faith life?
It helped get me on the narrow road. I had some partiality in my past, and certain people would do things that I wouldn't say anything about it or think about it, but then I decided to just go, wait, the Word of God says this, they're doing that. I'm going to leave them.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, I just had another thought. Here's another one, proving yourself. Examine and test yourself and your faith and your walk. Do you do things as led by the Spirit of God, or do you wait until other people tell you and hold you accountable in them? I mean, accountability is good and we all have blind spots, but if you prove and test yourself, it's also good to examine whether you're being led of the Spirit. Like, are you examining all of the fruits? Like, examine yourself. Are you showing forth all the fruits of the Spirit? Are you showing forth goodness, righteousness, truth? Are you showing a zeal for the gospel? Are you showing love for your neighbor and love for your brethren? Are you doing all this stuff? And if you aren't, then why not? Go do it.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, I just did that. I just did that teaching on judging and judge yourself the hardest. And then the more we judge ourselves in our own houses, then we don't have to be judged. And then we judge the brethren that we're united to. So nobody from the outside. Isn't it nice? Have you guys pondered this? Isn't it nice to have a faith and have a brethren and have a belief system that nobody from the outside is correcting us about anything? When was the last time you got an email? When was the last time you got an email from somebody, even a churchianity person, and said, I see this sin, you're not doing this rightly, and we go, oh, missed that one. Okay, good one there, Baptist pastor. When was the last time that happened? No. Why? Why hasn't that happened? Because we test, we examine, we judge ourselves. When we have sin, we purge it out, we call it out, we discipline it, we get rid of it. We don't need, I'll call them the world, we don't need the churchianity, worldly people, and the world to judge us, do we? We judge ourselves to the Word of God, and look what happens. We can walk and be blameless. They have nothing on us. Isn't that glorious to think about? Have you ever thought about that recently? That you can go out and preach with boldness, knowing no one can come up behind you and go, excuse me, here's a doctrine you don't have right, you're not doing. And you go, oh, wow, do we look stupid? We missed that one. No, you can walk boldly and say, no, we've tested ourselves to the Word. We have brothers who have been doing it for years. They cling to Scripture, they hold us, and they hold themselves to the Word of God, and you can preach with authority what God's Word says, not worried about, oh, I'm not really sure if we're obeying or not, like the churchianity people. We don't even know what we're doing, they say. Isn't that glorious?
Yeah. Amen. That is another good way to test ourselves, prove yourself. Is there anything you read about in Scripture that you aren't doing that you're supposed to be doing?
Yeah, amen.
That's a really good way of testing and proving yourself. Just like, is there something that the Bible says I should be doing that I'm not doing? And is something I'm doing that the Bible says I'm not supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
And that, you got a pretty good examination going on there.
What I read the verse from James, you look in the mirror. That means you're looking at yourself. Hey, how am I doing? I hear that Word of God real good, and I go, amen. How am I doing every day? At all of the things God's called me to do, and is he worthy for me to do them all to the best of my ability? So that testing, examining, and proving has to come deep in us, and it has to be like a driving force so that we're always refining what we're doing, how we're living, so that, one, we got it right, two, we don't slip back into old ways, or we don't, you know, how about this one, ready? You guys have jobs. Your boss tells you, hey, we need this done, and do it this way. So the day he tells you, you get it done and you do it that way. Why? Because you want your job, you want to get paid, you want a paycheck. Hey, 3 days later, I forgot what he told me. I'm not even doing that anymore. And he comes up and he goes, excuse me, on Monday, didn't we say to do this? And you go, yeah, but that was Monday. We got to make sure that we make corrections and we continue to keep doing it. Trim those parts right, stack them right, build a foundation right, keep the doctrines right and be consistent. Isn't that part of our endurance? Enduring is walking in sound doctrine that saves us. I also read that verse. Right? Yeah. So anything else about testing, examining, proving? Any comments, questions, scriptures?
You've already said it, but I want to say it again because emphasis on this is really good. Test and examine yourself really, 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 really hard. And then you don't have to deal with other people pointing it out to you.
Amen.
Yeah. If you're hard on your flesh, then other people don't have to be.
Yeah, amen. Like the other night when I posted that audio and I took it down right away because I listened to it. And then right after the end of when I listened to it, I went back and I said, hey, wait a minute. I got that word definition all wrong. And I caught it and I pulled it down. I know one of my brothers would have caught it. Whenever you do something, test it, scrutinize it, make sure you're examining it. Because it is for God's glory, it is for the edification, and guess what? When you test and examine yourself real hard, when you go out in the street, that's going to help you when you're examining people that claim Christ, modern pastors, churchianity. You're going to go, you know what? I've tested myself. I can see that is not the fruit of a holy saint right there. I can tell. I can tell. Holy saints don't walk around like that, saying that, acting that way, united to that. Loving the things of the world. That's not what saints do. So the examining, the testing, the proving is actually sharpening your own sword, is it not?
That's a good way of looking at it.
It's sharpening your own sword. So you're at home going, sharpening your own sword. You're not waiting for your brother to come help sharpen your sword. Yeah, he can help you, but you could be doing it ahead of time too. So there's a lot less to examine. So, who do we examine? Ourselves, the hardest. Who's next?
Our brethren, our houses and our brethren.
Yeah, so your house would be the next. So if you're married with kids, that's your house. If you're single, your house is kind of you. And then the brethren that you're united to. And then who's next? Who do we test and examine and prove out?
Those who claim Christ.
Yeah, yeah. Those who claim Christ. Now, what do we do with the worldly people that don't claim Christ? Oh, we test, examine, and prove them, right? Not really. What are we supposed to do with them?
Preach the gospel and call them to God.
Yeah. And if they say, I'm not a sinner, now we examine them and help them see their sin so they see their need to come to God. But, yeah, we're not out testing and examining them. We're just preaching the gospel to them. So,
and isn't it interesting how churchianity has also flipped that on its head? They really call out, especially the Christian nationalists, right? They really like to call out the world and politicians and all of this stuff. And yet, they're united to every kind of flavor of man-made religion there is.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I won't mention his name, not to give him any publicity, but I'm doing a testing on a famous false teacher. And he got up there and he was reading James 4. And I got to watch out. I'll start talking like him and I'll give him away who he is. Brother Kua knows who he is. He's reading James 4 about being a friend of the world. And he said, you can't be no friend with homosexuals. You don't be a friend with homosexuals. He's yelling about homosexuals. And this man has like, the gospel is probably like that big on his website, but he's got like two or three pages about homosexuality on his website. So he really calls out homosexuality, which it is a sin, but he is using unbalanced weight on it. And what I think is interesting is God says homosexuality is an abomination. Yep. Here's this man in a suit and a tie and a bow tie, and he's walking around strutting around in pride and vanity. Hey, brothers, what is that before God per Proverbs 6?
An abomination.
Yeah. So it's interesting how, boy, it's easy to judge that homosexual. Oh, not me. I'm not an abomination. Not me. Not me. Make sure we judge rightly.
Hey, witchcraft is called an abomination. We know that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft.
Amen.
And they're all in rebellion against God's word. It kind of all ties full circle in hypocrisy.
Amen. Amen, it does. So yeah, we don't want to be accused of that. We don't want to be guilty of that. So examine, test, prove yourself, brethren. If you need help, let us know. If we see it, we'll help you. If you see it in me, help me. And then we can go forth and we can be bold. And I'm going to do a teaching on this, using God's word with authority. If you've tested and examined yourself and you beat yourself in the fire and you're sharpening your sword and you do that constantly, you can walk forth and you can have authority in God's word. But if you don't do that, you'll be unsure of yourself. Oh, I don't know if I'm saying this right, doing this right. I'm not sure about this. I'm not that. Well, if that's your mindset, you better get beaten on that hammer. You better get testing. You better get proving. You better get that forge going. You better get that fire hot and burn off all the dross and get yourself ready so that you can go forth and love God and love your neighbor. Because if we don't speak with authority, we're not loving God and we're not loving our neighbor. And so we can do that by testing, proving, examining. And we'll come out the other side a much better vessel and tool for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Last point. If I said to you, give me an example of people that don't test and don't prove and don't examine, what would you say?
Go to church.
look at the churchianity places. They don't test anything. They could test Christmas. Nope, they won't. Easter, nope. Good Friday, nope. Worldly dress, nope. Sports and all this, no. Instruments, they test next to nothing. Except you, if they go, yeah, it looks like you have expensive glasses on. Oh, yes, sir. $1.25 from Dollar Tree. Yeah, they're real expensive. They don't test anything until it's like pointing out at you. Oh, you have mixed fibers on? Yeah, look at you, huh? They don't test nothing. They're the poster people for not testing, examining, and proving themselves. And look at how hypocritical and ridiculous they look, brothers. By the way, Brother Zelos, did you know this? A lady told me in the street today that head covering for women, that's in the Old Testament. Just wanted you to know that. And then 20 minutes later, she walked by and she came back and said, I read 1 Corinthians 11. I told her, I said, no, ma'am, it's in 1 Corinthians 11. So she didn't know where head coverings was in the New Covenant. So that should give you a clue. She's not quite a scholar or a Berean. 20 minutes later, she walked by. Sister Amon was witnessing to her friend. And she said, I just read 1 Corinthians 11. You don't know what you're talking about. It doesn't mean I have to cover my head. And I just said, ma'am, if you knew the gospel and your heart was changed, you'd want holiness and you don't. So that was a condemnation against her. But yeah, look at the fruit of not testing, examining, and proving. We don't want to do that, brothers. We want to do the opposite for God's glory.
Did you read 2 Timothy 2, 20 and 21?
Brother Akua just read 2 Timothy 2, but I don't think that. Go ahead and read it. It's always good to read God's word.
Okay. I wasn't sure. You guys had a ton of scripture. I was just following along earlier. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That's a good verse for proving ourselves and what it does, what
yeah,
we're supposed to do.
Purge that is ourselves. A great verse. Thank purge you, brother. You know what's another great verse? 1 Corinthians 3:15. About testing and proving. What's going to happen to people's works? Gold, silver, jewels, hay, stubble. They're going to go through the fire. We talked about that when Brother Purgos did his verse by verse on 1 Corinthians 3. If you're doing ministry and you've got the wrong motives, pride, competition, covetousness, look at me out here, man. I look good out here preaching. I love preaching out here. People are seeing me on the corner. And you don't even know you're prideful. You just think you're doing a good work of God. Those works are going to be burned up because why? They're going to be tested. We better be testing ahead of time for God's glory and purge all of that out ahead of time. Amen?
Amen.
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 All right. Anybody got anything else? If not, we're going to leave it right there. One call, last call. All right, brothers. Thanks so much. This will be up in the Ecclesia gathering area, added with the other teaching. God be praised.